email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 5, 5 on ray@rte.ie. As I was saying earlier, it's an historic week, not just for America, but for the planet. Less than 24 hours now, the American people will go to the polls, and who will become the next president of the United States of America? Will it be Kamala Harris or will it be Donald Trump? Well, Anthony Scaramucci, a former White House communications director, is on the line now from New York. Hello, Anthony.
Ray, how are you? It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. And are people in America saying that this is historic? Is there tension, or what is the atmosphere?
Yeah, I think so. I think people are very tense. I think that the people that are against Trump have now decided they're taking him literally. So when he says he wants to use the American military against his political adversaries, they're like, whoa. When he's saying that he wants to deport 15 million people, which would have huge negative consequences to the U.S. economy, I think they're worried about that. When he talks about pulling out of NATO and supporting Vladimir Putin, who's been an aggressor in Eastern Europe, I think the people that are against Donald Trump are quite worried. And so, yes, I think it's a very consequential election.
And what about the people for Trump? What do they think of all of those?
Well, I think if Trump wins, I think the Democratic Party has to have a reckoning, because the people that are voting for Trump are generally white, non-educated males. If you look at the crosstabs, and I think that the culture in the United States has probably done a disservice to that voting block. And I think those people feel left out, and they see Donald Trump as an avatar for their anger. And they'll vote for him, and I'll quote him, he could shoot people on Fifth Avenue and they'll vote for him anyway. Mm. And so one has to wonder what the left is doing to the American culture that has inspired these people to vote for somebody who speaks and talks and acts like a fascist. And again, I believe he does that, but so does General John Kelly. His former chief of staff spent 18 months with him in the White House and said that if you read the definition of fascism, Trump represents that. But these people don't care. They're upset about what's going on inside the culture. They're actually voting, Ray, this is the big irony of the whole thing. They're voting against their economic interests, because the Harris-Biden team has reshored manufacturing. We're building microprocessor foundries here in the U.S. The Bridge, Road, and Tunnel Act that was embedded in the Inflation Reduction legislation has benefited lower and middle-income people. Middle-class wages are rising in the U.S., so are lower middle-class wages. So they're actually voting against their economic interest to vote for Trump.
Anthony, surely he needs more than disenfranchised white males to vote for him if he's going to win.
That's true. Yeah, and she's closed the gap with white women. Remember, Trump was plus 12 with white women in 2020. He's now only plus 4. And she's made gains. But, you know, unfortunately for her, and I think she's done generally a very good job of campaigning, has been a very well executed campaign. But unfortunately for her, she started on the 21st of July. And so it's been a 100-day march for her. And it's been complicated, because she's got to organize, raise money, and get into those certain states with her messaging. And I don't think it was as well formed as they would have liked it to be. You know, the great irony there, Ray, is that it's developing now. If she had 2 more weeks, I think she would really press him and win handily. I do think she's going to win the election, but it's a lot closer than any of us would like to see it.
And I see the Iowa poll has her 3 points ahead. You know that the rest of the world are looking on in disbelief. That this man, he has 26 women, have accused him of sexual misconduct. He's a number of felons pending.
Not pending. He's been convicted. He has 34 felony convictions. He has a sentencing pending on the 26th of November. He's a Vladimir Putin sympathizer. He wants to take us out of NATO. He wants to crush the U.S. economy with crippling tariffs, anywhere from 200 to 500%. And yet he's got a bunch of Wall Streeters that are supporting him with this sort of nonsense. So the objective economists around the United States have analyzed her plan and analyzed his plan. His plan knocks the economy off course. It blows out the deficit, I mean, increases it exponentially. Her plan, better for workers, better for middle class families, lowers the deficit. And so when you look at all of these different metrics, you're saying, well, why is he still doing
well? What's the answer?
And, you know, it's a culture
they're
war, sir.
And they're disenfranchised. And you know that old expression, you know, when they go low, we go high. Do you think the Democrats have gone too low with Donald Trump?
No, I don't think so. I think they had no choice. I mean, you've got to hit him as hard as you can hit him. But I'm going to tell you two reasons, sir, why I believe he's going to lose. He exposed himself at Madison Square Garden last week. Trump himself is immune. He can say anything. Shoot people on Fifth Avenue, use the military to take out civilians, pull out of NATO. For some reason, we've given him a pass on everything. But his minions don't get that pass. So when they say that Puerto Rico is a pile of garbage, or they say they want to slaughter people, they want to slaughter the Democrats, or they say these crazy, bizarre things, and I'm going to use a quote, America is America for Americans. This is exactly what Adolf Hitler said about Germany in the 1930s. And so when his acolytes talking like him and they're trying to out Trump, people actually listen to them and say, whoa, those are the people that are going into the White House. Maybe I don't take Trump seriously. He's a showman. He's allowed to get a pass on anything he says. But these other people, they don't get the pass. Mark Anthony doesn't think so. Jennifer Lopez doesn't think so. Bad Bunny doesn't think so. And if you look at that cross tab, Harris is 89-11 with the Puerto Rican registered voters that live in the United States. And remember, 450,000 of those people live in the state of Pennsylvania.
And that's the big state. Whoever wins Pennsylvania, they're predicting will become the next president. How important are celebrity endorsements? So Pamela Harris this evening will be in the company of Oprah Winfrey and Lady Gaga. How important are these endorsements?
You know, I'm not in love with the celebrity endorsements. And I'll tell you this quick story. Hillary Clinton, and I think the vice president is making the same mistake. On the eve of the election in 2016, she was in the Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia, and she was with Bruce Springsteen, Jon Bon Jovi, and a whole host of Beyonce, Jay-Z, and a whole host of celebrities. Trump was in a farm field in Western Pittsburgh. He said to the group, you know, she's there with them. She has them, but you have me. And it was an anti-elitist statement. I'm not in love with her doing that concert. I've told the campaign that. I'd rather have the 20,000 people in there that are her volunteers working that night, manning phone banks, knocking on doors, making sure they're organized to get people out to vote, particularly the elderly that want to vote, but they need rides to the polling stations. I'm not in love with the celebrity thing because there's a lot of anti-elitism that's going on right now.
So you worked closely with Donald Trump before he fired you. A lot of people are suggesting that this time, if he gets in, he's going to be emboldened and who knows what he'll do. Is that your reading of the situation?
Well, not only is it my reading, but you don't have me, Kelly, Mattis, you don't have H.R. McMaster, you don't have Tillerson stopping him from doing the things that he suggested. You know, when he turns to General Mark Milley and he says, I want you to bring the American military into Lafayette Square and shoot at the kneecaps of American civilians that are protesting. And Milley says, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to resign before I do that. Then he turns to Esper, the Secretary of Defense, asks him to do that. He says the same thing. You don't have that blockade anymore, Ray. And so you know, you've got guys, as was exhibited at the Madison Square Garden, that they want to out-Trump Trump on their road to power. And so this is the craziest part of this thing. And I would say this to you rhetorically. I'd like you to think about this. If there were 40 of us that worked at a pharmaceutical company and we watched the factory create poison pills, and I called you up, Ray, I said, please don't give that to your children. It's going to kill them. Would you give it to your children? We've got 40 people that are expressing this systemic danger. They worked in the White House alongside of Donald Trump. They saw all the potential rule breaking, law breaking that he wanted to do in that role. And we've raised the alarm. The vice president, Mike Pence, on the ticket with him twice, is begging people not to vote for him. I don't
but he has,
understand why none of that is resonating.
Well, I'll tell you why, Anthony, because the more you say against him, the more his supporters love him. It's odd, but that's the case. The more you diss him, the more they think they're at our man. Of course they'd say that.
But take it to the next derivative, though. Why is that?
Yeah. They're disenfranchised.
So when he says he's going to deport 15 million people, and I did the math on 1.8 million, because that's our prison population. Let's say we're going to deport 1.8 million people. It's an $88 billion hit to the U.S. taxpayer to do that.
What do you think will happen if he doesn't get in? Of course, he's not in the White House now. He's not the incumbent. He's not in a position of power as such. So it's unlikely that the same things that happened on January 6th will happen again.
Well, I'm the contrarian. A lot of my friends think he's gearing up for a civil war. He's going to want to tell people to mobilize on his behalf. He's going to suggest that the election was rigged and so on and so forth. I am not of that belief. He has a sentencing hanging over him in 3 weeks' time. On the 26th of November, he has to face the music in a New York court. And if he's fomenting violence between the 5th of November and the 26th of November, they're going to put him in jail. Mm. I think he knows that. I think they've made that very clear to him. So,
and if he becomes president, what happens to that sentencing?
Well, I think they have to suspend that sentencing. Yes. I don't see that this country's not going to put him in jail if he becomes president. He'll fire the special prosecutor that's after him for the insurrection case and the documents case. He has very broad powers now, sir, as a result of this Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity. And I think he'll start executing that.
Okay. Who's going to win?
So I think she wins. I think she's going to win the blue wall and she becomes the president, but it's going to be very close.
Okay. Anthony Scaramucci, former director of communications at White House. Thank you and good luck. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
RTE Radio 1.
It took a lifespan.
Interpol, live. Antic's 20th anniversary tour. Three Arena, this Sunday, November 10th. Plus, special guests, Dust. Tickets available now from Ticketmaster.ie. Don't miss Interpol, live at 3 Arena this Sunday.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.